Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, none of you look particularly stressed out. I'm probably more stressed than all of you at the moment. I just had a really intense time. Actually, I got this, I got informed, how many days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, I had a quick look at my huge pile of emails and saw that I'm supposed to be speaking on this topic. And I haven't had time to think about it at all. So. I must confess, I know very little about business management. I just saw this screenshot. What is it? About negative energy, it decreases your circle of influence. I thought about that. This Islamic State, they're not very positive energy, but they're definitely increasing their circle of influence. Question everything. I also thought that even though I don't have any formal training in this, I must be doing something right because I do have some circle of influence, which is why I was under a lot of stress, because there are people coming at me day and night, literally, for the last few days when I was in Vrindavan. So regarding business management, I have no training. I do oversee a trust which runs largely as a business, which is engaged in producing and selling my books. And here in India, I'm not so very business-like. Producing my books, what we do in India turns over a crore or something a year. I'm not exactly sure, but it's pretty straightforward. We print the books and we sell them. That's the essence of business, isn't it? You sell something and you get a profit. The bottom line, as they say. So I don't have much experience in this. Stress management, well, I don't have any formal training in that either, but it's a bit of a hoax, this program. You can all walk out right now if you like. You might think you're getting some comic relief from stress through all of this. But I do have a lot of training and experience in spirituality, and with the faith and confidence and practical experience that developing the spiritual aspect of our life can improve everything, whatever it is. So if it was breeding dogs and spirituality, I also don't know anything about breeding dogs, but if we increase the spiritual content of our life, then all aspects of our life will be improved. Spirituality is practically a user-definable term. It's open-ended and pretty vague. It could include everything from Mother Teresa to Dalai Lama and Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, Asaram Babu, and Sai Baba, and Allahu Akbar, and anything else you want to throw in there. Spirituality obviously is derived or intimately related with the term spiritual, which is related with the term spirit. My training is in understanding the spirit. It's a term that you have all heard many times, no doubt. Atmagyan, knowledge of the self. This is the a central topic of Bhagavad Gita, which about 2 years ago, it was seen how much Hindus in general have a feeling for Bhagavad Gita, when in Russia there was an attempt to have the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the edition that is promoted by ISKCON, banned, and across all parties, not only BJP, but across all parties, there was tremendous protest about this in the Lok Sabha. And eventually Vladimir Putin himself had to say, look, close this case down, it's causing damage with our relationships with India. So there's a lot of feeling for Bhagavad Gita, but there's very little knowledge of it, even cursory knowledge of what are the topics of the Bhagavad Gita. Many Hindus can recite a verse or two. Yada yada hi dharmasya is one of the well-known verses. It used to be karmanyevadikaraste, but that's not so well known. But what is the actual message of Gita? It seems to be that it's generally thought that, well, you can interpret it in any way you like. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, his edition of Bhagavad Gita, which is by far the most distributed in the world today. It's translated in more languages than any other, and it's gone through how many? It's several hundred million in print. He entitled that his edition as Bhagavad Gita as it is, which when I first saw it, I thought, that's a very strange title for a book, to say Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means Bhagavad Gita. It's when you go to the bazaar, well, nowadays you don't go to the bazaar, you go to Big Bazaar, right? There's no real bazaars anymore, but you might remember when you were younger, you'd go to a bazaar and there would be mangoes there and different. The seller, he would say, these are mangoes. They're real mangoes. They're really real mangoes. Okay, they're not plastic mangoes, they're real, if it's a mango, it's a mango, you don't have to go on. So if it's Bhagavad Gita, then it should be Bhagavad Gita. Why Bhagavad Gita as it is? Why this? So Srila Prabhupada explains in there that most editions of Bhagavad Gita are just, someone has come with their own idea and they've superimposed that on the Bhagavad Gita. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to present as Krishna taught it. If Bhagavad Gita is important, then it's important because of what Krishna said and not because of someone's interpretation of what Krishna said. Do you have to stand there all the time because you're blocking the view? Of some. I can see them and they can see me. Hello there. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, what is the actual message of Bhagavad Gita? It's Atma Gyan. Or most commentators on Bhagavad Gita would agree, although some stress more on the karma karmanyevadikara state. The main thing is to do your work. But the message is to know yourself. Who are you? Who am I? And most people, if we ask this, well, who are you? And looking at the gentleman here with three seats empty next to himself in the front row, if I ask you, who are you? What will you reply?
I am Pradeep.
You are Pradeep.
Yeah.
Pradeep?
Jain.
Pradeep Jain. And your age is?
45.
Your age is 45. You're a resident of New Delhi, presumably.
Yeah.
And you are chartered accountant?
Yeah.
You're a chartered accountant. Okay, so that's your identity. And it could be expanded that these are my children, this is my wife and children, and this is my house, and this is my business or the business. So this is how we identify myself. So you're 45. So if I ask you, where was Pradeep Jain 47 years ago, what would be your answer? It might seem to be a non-realistic question, is it? It doesn't have, because Pradeep Jain began 45 years ago plus 9 months. So what does it mean? And where will you be in 47 years ago? Maybe in Apollo Hospital, and maybe already gone past the Samsha. More likely, probably. So where will you be in 47 years? Well, the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that you were somewhere 47 years ago, and even if this body is still going on, you will continue to exist. And most Hindus will accept that because, well, that's what we grew up with. We're Hindus and that's what we believe. But Bhagavad Gita is not presented as a matter of belief. It differs to the Bible or the Quran, in which it's just said, well, here it is, and you have to, if you believe it, you hit the jackpot. And if you don't, you go to hell forever. But Bhagavad Gita is different to that, in as much as Krishna is giving a lesson to Arjuna. He's teaching him knowledge, atma-gyan, knowledge of the self, in which we have to understand it. It's to be approached with the intelligence and to act on that. The message of Bhagavad Gita is very practical for all of the lives of persons living in the world, like yourself. I'm also living in the world, but not in the same way as yourself. Krishna, as you probably know, told Arjuna, who wanted to renounce the world, that he should live in the world and perform his duty in the world, but understanding who he is. Now, if we understand that before this body was born, I existed, after this body dies, I will continue to exist. If we actually understand this, then it will put everything we're doing now in a completely different perspective. There's your stress management right there. That anyway, whatever's giving you stress, it's everything is temporary in this world. So why take it so seriously? Now, in business, if you don't take it seriously, you're not going to be in business. Or the business may be in business, but you're going to be out of the business. You have to take it seriously. Well, Arjuna, he also had to take it seriously, even much more seriously than your business even, because when you're fighting and people are trying to kill you, there's no time for a tea break. And there's no time to... And you might be said, every half an hour, take a break, take a deep breath, and blink your eyes so you're not looking at the computer screen. There's no time for that. There's no question of it. You have to be absolutely focused all the time. Otherwise, you're dead. So Arjuna was completely involved in the world, but in a duty that was far more stressful than any of us have ever had, probably. Unless you've been driving a car when you're just going straight at a truck and you have to really concentrate and just miss the truck. It used to be quite common in Delhi, but nowadays not so much. Yeah. So that would be like a few seconds. But for Arjuna, it was day after day after day, all day, absolutely high tension stress. And he was able to do that and at the same time have a complete sense of spiritual understanding. Krishna told Arjuna, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha, you have to think of me and fight. Arjuna thought, let me just leave all of this and concentrate on spirituality. And Krishna told him that, no, you think of me and fight. And the kamanya vadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachan. You're fighting for your, because you have to, it's your duty to do so. But at the same time, you should know that the result is ultimately not in our hand. In the business management, there's so many people, there's so many books and so many seminars. And still, some people, they become great business successes without going through all of this. And other people, they spend so much time and money going through all these courses, and they still never make much progress whatsoever. So it's not that some training is not required. After all, Arjuna wasn't just thrown into the battle. He had years of training before he did that. And he would have to go on practicing when he wasn't actually fighting. But... ultimately the result is not in our hand anyway. And ultimately the result in the course of long time, it doesn't matter that much. Now this may seem to be absolutely antithetical to what you're doing in business, because in business the whole idea, although it may be dressed up with, yes, we're doing things to help the world, actually it's, everyone knows, the bottom line is money. If you have to make money. If the business doesn't make money, it's not a business. So everything is ultimately focused on that. But while being completely involved, at the same time detached, knowing that it's my duty to give my full stress to this, but at the same time knowing that everything in this world is temporary and my real duty of life, I have to do this. Someone's a chartered accountant, someone's a warrior, someone's a film director, someone's cleaning the toilet. There are all kinds of things different people have to do. But ultimately, I have to understand why I am in this world and where am I going next. That's the most important thing we have to do. Otherwise, what's the point? Why get so stressed up about everything anyway? Why go through all of this? For you also, either you're running your own business or you're working in someone else's business. The business, the bottom line is money, and for you yourself, it's also money. People talk about job satisfaction, but you can be as satisfied as you like in your job, but you need the money, right? You need the pay. So the purpose of getting the money is roti, kapra, makan, these are the general things said, the basic necessities. And on top of that, there's also, once you've got the basic necessities fulfilled, then there comes the question of prestige. And that's a major factor in modern life in New Delhi, prestige. That if you can drive a 2 crore car, it won't go any faster in the traffic jam than a 2 lakh car, but you can have these foolish satisfaction of thinking I'm better than someone in a 2 lakh car. And that in itself produces so much unnecessary stress, this idea of getting ahead. I have to get ahead of others. It's childish, actually. Just get ahead for the sake of what? To show yourself to be something bigger or better. But we're not. What is it? What is this being bigger or better? One in the street, one dog is bigger and better than another dog. And it's the same propensity. It's childish and animalistic to think I have to show myself to be better, when we're just totally, actually we're insignificant, totally insignificant. If you consider the huge universe and this tiny planet, and here we are just for maybe 2 times 47 years, for 2 times 45 years at the most, and we're trying to show that we're better than others. It's childish. So, and anyway, you may be somewhat high in society today, but in the next life we may be anything. We may be the birds flying in the trees, or we may be born in some family where less privileged and bungy class. We're not supposed to say things like that these days. So how many births have we been through? How many will we go through? We're getting stressed up about things that are of no ultimate importance. So if we understand, we're unnecessarily getting worked up. But our real goal of life should be to understand who we actually are. What is our relationship with God? Who is God? So that's all very clear from Bhagavad Gita, that there is a supreme controller. His name is Krishna. And our relationship with him is the essence of our being, actually. And the essence of that relationship is pure love. And that's why that's, if you analyze, why are you working so hard? Well, the money, I say, roti, kapra, makan, izzat, all these kinds of things. But you might analyze it in another way. Well, I'm doing it for my family, isn't it? You're doing it for your family because there's some feeling, some love for the family. Although in the modern age, that's also decreasing more and more because family, more and more, is it's like a joint mess. You have a house and you all come there and you'd hardly know each other, and you all come in at different times. So you have your own TV and you watch, someone's watching TV, someone's watching their own thing on the internet, and they hardly, I know myself, I grew up no brothers and four sisters. I hardly knew any of the sisters, and we're all living our own lives, and it's increasingly becoming like that. But at least theoretically, hopefully, you're working to benefit your family. Why is that? Because you expect some affection, isn't it? It's out of affection that you want your children to come up and go ahead, and out of affection also, you want to please your own parents. You came to this position. Why did you work so hard to get in the position that you're in now? You also wanted to satisfy your parents. It's a sense of affection between persons. Well, the ultimate relationship is with Krishna. That is, love is the ultimate principle. That's the point. It's not the money. The money in itself, you're going to have millions of dollars and be most miserable. Actually, a lot of the people who are very rich are most miserable also. Have you noticed that? the more you're concerned with money for its own sake, the more miserable you become, and the less love you have for anyone, and the people don't have love for you, and the money it's just torturing you. That's all. People are tortured by their money because they forgot that it's not the money in itself. It's satisfaction comes from trying to satisfy others. So this principle brought to it, to perfection, is with Krishna. And you may say, well, what about my family then? Or what about, do I forget my family? No, not at all. As Arjuna, he also didn't forget. In fact, he was fighting for his family. Although it was his service to fight, someone has to do it. It's not for everyone. It's required in human society. It would be a nice idea to have, as Mahatma Gandhi said, ahimsa, but it's not at all practical. And the unfortunate manifestation of that was how he died himself. It's very unlikely, but if the government of India was to declare, okay, from now on we're going to have a non-violent policy, disband the army, and very soon the capital of India would be shifted from New Delhi to Islamabad, because they'd say, okay, great, we're moving in, you're non-violent, we're violent, isn't it? An army is required. Violence is required. This is practical. Bhagavad Gita is very practical. So you have to go on with your duty, but the ultimate principle we have to understand is love, and when we love Krishna, then we can love everyone better. But there may be people that we have to fight with also. That may be, it's just practical in the world. We may be loving to everyone, have a spirit, but we have to see practically also. There is good and there is bad. There is right and there is wrong. And that's also required, that someone has to fight for what is right and oppose that which is wrong. Now, this raises some other questions, because I have it here, one written question. We as professionals sometimes have to give unethical advice to our clients. So how does that fit with spirituality? Becomes a bit complex, doesn't it, when the whole society is, and especially, well, the business world, it's interlinked with, I don't know the details so much, you probably know it much better than I do, but it's interlinked with so much that which is unethical. And I would guess that in India today, that if you want to do business in a totally ethical way, it would be very difficult to do so. I've heard that this in Bangalore, Premji Azad?
Ajit
Premji. No, but there's one Muslim who's a very big craw, multi-craw party. Who's that? Is that him?
Azim
Premji. I've heard that he's very ethical in his ways of doing things, and he doesn't... Is it? We've heard? I heard this, that he'll... There was some whole affair in which one of his people, he claimed he went first class, actually went second class, and he suspended him, and there was a strike, and he let the strike run on, and he runs it on principle. So it may be possible. But in general, we find that... Oh, I'll give an example. I don't read the news much, but I usually see the headlines. The last few days I didn't, but one headline came up some years ago when there was all this talk about corruption before the elections. There's not much talk about it now. It's just life as usual, it seems. It becomes an issue at election time. The Reliance companies, there was talk, came up that they're involved in some massive payoffs and this and that. And it came up, and a few hours later it was off the internet. It was gone. So, I don't know, but it seems that corruption is written into the fabric. So how do you deal with that? In Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the commentary by Srila Prabhupada, there's something which might be very surprising to you. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna says that sava-rambha-hido-shena, that every endeavor, there's some kind of fault in it. Whatever you do in this material world, there's going to be some kind of fault. But that you shouldn't give up your duty because there's some fault in it. So Arjuna, he had to kill. It's not a very nice thing to do. But if he hadn't killed, then the Duryodhana would have gone on ruling. It would have been corrupt. It had come to the point. There'd been all endeavors to make some compromise, but Duryodhana refused, and it had to come to a fight. So Kshatriyas have to kill. Brahmanas, they may also. It's supposed to be very pure, but they may have to advise Kshatriyas to kill. They may also conduct sacrifices in which animals are killed. And then for Vaishyas, Srila Prabhupada notes that in business, you may have to say a lie. But because if you... for he gave the example that he will say to the customer, "For you, I'm making no profit." And the customer understands, of course he's making a profit, otherwise why is he doing business? He's not running a charity here. He has to make a profit. But still, one has to go on with his duty and doing it, even if there's some fault in that. So you might not be able to avoid that. Of course, if you see that the business that you're working in is corrupt to the extent that it's really badly impacting the whole nation and so many people and this and that, you might want to try and change your job. But then, what's clean in this world? You might think, well, working in a bank or working, that's something clean, you're not engaged in, but the banks, they're bankrolling all the corrupt business. I had a disciple who was working in Dubai as a financial advisor for one of the emirs there, and they're bankrolling all kinds of things which are not very ethical, but that was his job. He was doing it. After some time, I advised him, "You do it, you're earning well, so after some time you retire early. You don't have to work until you drop dead." you retire early and then you devote yourself fully to promoting better kind of society based on agrarian living, simple living, village life, these things. So that's one approach, that as long as you're in the job, you have to do it. But you have to understand the goal of life, which is to not remain in this material world, life after life, but to come out of the material world and go to the spiritual world. That is the most important thing. So as long as we're in this world, we have to do something. But if you're earning well, then you don't have to go on working, getting more and more stressed. Retire early and live simply thereafter. You don't have to spend, I don't know if any of you have 2 crores in your back pocket to buy a car, but you don't have to buy a 2 crore car. Live as simply as you can. That in itself will, I'll take questions in just a few minutes, and objections or whatever. You don't have to get caught in this rat race of showing yourself to be so big, and you have to have Ray-Ban sunglasses and so many jewels and this. You can live as you need, retire early, and then dedicate yourself fully to spiritual practices. So that's a perspective which maybe, I don't know if any of you thought of this before. If we understand that anyway what I'm doing is temporary, still I've been trained in this, I have a job, or I have to do it, I'm being paid for this, so I have to do it with, I'm getting paid, so I should do my job with full attention. I'm getting something, so I should give back. Or if I'm running my own business, then obviously profit is there, but we should deal, profit is the motive, but we should also deal with people as far as possible, deal with people as people. It's increasingly difficult, it seems to me, in Delhi more than in any other city in India, where it seems to me that Delhi is maybe the most hard in this regard. What do you think? You probably are familiar with all the other metros also. It's the toughest atmosphere. But we have to remember that people are people, and even if they're acting tough with us also, inside they also actually they have feelings, they have friends. Every person is precious. Why? Because we're all part and parcel of God, of Krishna. We're not meant to be harsh towards each other. The modern life makes it increasingly like that. We're meant to love each other. Love is possible ultimately on the platform of the soul, not of the body. There's much to be understood in this regard from Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so there's a very cursory introduction. It's talking about how to business management and stress, just a different perspective on life altogether. Don't get caught in all this. Although you have to do your work and your duty, but don't get caught in the mentality which drags us. Although we're trying to become more intelligent than our competitors, but actually this is at a very low level of consciousness, when we're simply thinking of trying to outdo others and get ahead and make more money. It's at a very low level of consciousness. Raise our consciousness to the level of reality, of understanding that everything here is temporary. It ultimately doesn't matter whether I have crores and crores or just enough to live on. What is our real focus of life is to understand my eternal spiritual position and spend time on that. That sadhana is required. Everyone should do some sadhana. That was part of life in India up until a short time ago, even in the cities. People would rise early in the morning, bathe, even in the winter, and do some puja, or pat, or dhyan, or japa, and that gave them a good solid foundation for the whole day. You won't be so stressed if you put time aside for that. You may say, where's the time? You may put time aside for spiritual practices, and you'll find that automatically the rest of the day will go without so much stress. Whereas if you start off in the morning and immediately you hardly slept properly, and you get up and immediately you're stressed and you're running, and just 24 hours in a constant, it's not necessary. You can probably do your job much better if you're more relaxed, actually. And you can be more relaxed if you understand that I don't need to be in this stressed out situation. Yeah, please. You had some. Do we have any cordless mic? Hare Krishna. Best sadhana is chanting Hare Krishna. Very simple, very easy, and very, very powerful. Very simple, very powerful. Yeah.
Good evening, Tom. So my question is that at this age, I'm at 30, and should my aim be to be successful in life? And because if I want to be successful, there will be automatically somebody who will be related by that. And isn't that I should be doing? What I should be doing at this age? Whereas I need to maintain balance between being a successful person now,
like
30 years, and at the same time being spiritual.
Okay. 30 years. At the age of 30, you're still really beginning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being successful. First of all, we should think what we understand by being successful. Generally, people think that being successful means to have a high position and earn lots of money and be recognized for that. Even if you earn lots of money, if you're not recognized, what's the fun? The recognition is the main thing, it seems to be. Yeah. So that's the idea of success. But the real success is tyaktva dehaṁ punar janmana. That means on leaving the body, not to get born again. That's the ultimate success. Otherwise, you may be, I often say, Ajka Raja Kalka Kutta. In Hindi, it comes out nicely. It's a fact. Ajka Badsha Kalka Billy. It's like that. You can be very big, and then again, you're very small. Or even in this life, you can be very big, and then again, very small. And being so very big, it's the very nature of this material world that what we think will make us happy doesn't make us happy. We're chasing after illusory goals. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vishayendriya Samyogam. The happiness that comes from the engagements of the senses with the sense objects. And that means that we think, if I marry this beautiful girl, I will be so happy. I remember years ago when I was quite new in India, this Rekha, who was a famous Nayaka at the time, she married some Agarwal, and I think within 2 or 3 months the Agarwal committed suicide. So it didn't bring him, there may have been lakhs of people who were desiring to marry her, but it didn't bring him the happiness that he expected. So, Vishayendriya Samyogam, Yatadagre Mitopamam. In the beginning, it seems, oh, it's so wonderful, so wonderful. But Pariname Vishameva. But by Parinama, it becomes trend. It's easy to understand, actually, Bhagavad Gita. It's very simple Sanskrit. Pariname, you can all understand, by transformation, or it changes into visham. Visham means poison. So, yat tad agre, in the beginning, amrita. It seems like amrita. Amrita upamam. Pariname vishamiva Tat sukham rajasam smritam. That is happiness in rajaguna. It seems like bliss in the beginning, but it soon turns to poison. And that is the nature of life in this material world. We're chasing after happiness, which ultimately turns to poison in the form of repeated birth and death, or even in this lifetime. We worked so hard, taking a lot of stress to get our degree and then our job, and then we have to struggle up the ladder. And at the end, what do you get? There's nothing really there. Even if you get all the prestige, what's there? It's not. People respect you, but they don't really respect you anyway. Is it? You successful people, can you say? No, they don't really respect you because you have a big house and a big car and so many letters after your name on your card. So real success, what should that be? Real success should be, well, happiness in sattva-gun. What does that give? That gives atma-buddhi-prasada-jam. It gives us intelligence to know who we actually are and full satisfaction. And that is yattad-agre-viṣam-eva. In the beginning it seems like poison, but in the end it becomes like nectar. So if I tell you, yeah, just chant Hare Krishna, but you also have to give up meat-eating if you're meat-eating, and gambling if you're gambling, illicit and intoxication. It's a disciplined life. And you may think, well, I don't do that, but the ultimate result is amrita, real amrita. So real nectar. So first we should see what success is. And in our own individual situation, I don't know you, but all the details, so it wouldn't be proper for me to try and give you detailed advice about your life, but in general, understand what it means to be successful. And if you're in the business field, then you're in there. So I'll give an example. I was just talking about one disciple of mine who went up pretty high in the world of financial advice and all this, and retired early. Even though he could have gone on further and further. At one point, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, he told me that if he took some courses, he would have to study intensely for 2 years, along with his work and his family he has to look after, and his spiritual practices. But if he got this accreditation, then after two years he'd be doing this. He'd have to work the same number of hours, but his career would go on a roll. So I said, okay, do it. So we have to see the individual. Interestingly, his wife is even more qualified than himself. And even if you see the astrological chart, she could have been more successful than he, but she chose to stay at home and look after the children because she thought that's more important for me to look after the children, because I can go way up and earn lots of money. What for? For the children. But I won't be there for them, so better I'm there for them. That was her decision, under my advice. But understanding what is success, materially, spiritually. So, yeah, you can have spiritual life, and in that situation, I advised him, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and go up. But also, you can decide to retire early, which he has done now. He's in his early 40s, and he has enough money to live, and he's still in the prime of life, and doesn't need to work anymore. Not everyone can earn that much that they can retire early and do that. There is another drastic alternative, but I think in an introductory talk, you may not be ready for that, which is you can retire right now even if you don't have any money. I could tell you about that, but that's if you really want to get into spirituality, and that's even with your family. You don't have to become a sannyasi to get full time into spiritual life. It can be done in family life also, but that's maybe going a bit ahead for all of you now. So anything else, please?
Yeah,
Well, maybe I should just say that you can lead a stress-free life altogether and have your food, clothing, shelter, and everything. But it would require living very, very, very simply, out of the rat race, out of the Delhi smog. That's important for you and your kids, isn't it? Living simply on the land, growing your own food. No stress. So please, there's some more questions. Hare Krishna. One thing I must say, I'll interrupt you, don't mind me. It is very much appreciable that in this highly materialistic city, which I think we can say it's definitely very competitive, but there's still so many people who are actually interested in spirituality. So that is a good sign for India's culture. It's still going on, despite the intense materialism. There's a lot of cheating in the name of spirituality also. A lot. Yes, please.
I'm in Krishna consciousness for the last 1 year, and whatever you are telling, that is very right. I'm feeling the same thing.
You're quite a successful guy, as far as I remember. I met you last year, wasn't it?
No, yeah. After 1 year, I understand that I'm not successful.
Yeah, I mean successful materially. You're doing pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Everyone here in this room, I guess, is what would be good. Their parents would be happy to say, yes, my son or daughter is this. Is it? I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving a lot in health and business. I want to know, like you have said, business is for money. But can we do business for the people? Of course for the money, but for the people, how? To benefit of other people?
Actually, if you don't, in many businesses, if you don't provide a good service, then you'll be out of business anyway, isn't it? If you produce a good car, then it'll get sold. If it's a piece of junk, then it won't get sold. So a lot of it depends on the service you are providing. A lot of business is just a bunch of rubbish, actually, selling all kinds of rubbish foods which don't nourish people. Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, huge business. Run on by advertisements only. It has no benefit whatsoever for anyone except whoever happens to own the company. That's useless business. But some things, business, the core of business is producing goods, and there are other businesses, like you may be a chartered accountant business, which is a service business. But you have to do a good job, otherwise you'll be out of, you won't have a business, isn't it? So that is an ethic, isn't it? That whatever you're doing, you should do it well. Not just trying to cheat people. Provide something that's useful.
The second question is that in devotion, in Krishna consciousness, there are maybe more pleasure in Krishna consciousness. So my interest, I think so, my interest in business may be less, But from last year, my profit is 3 times more, even with less workforce. My interest in my business is yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And the analytical practices which you are doing, I'm not at all now interested in doing that. So
you're not interested in what? Sorry?
That unethical practice.
Unethical practice. You lost all interest in that. And even your business is going on better.
Yes.
It may well do. If people trust you, they'll be more willing to do business with you. That was the whole scandal that came out recently, the Made in Germany. People trusted, oh, Germany, that means they're doing honest business, but it came out that they're not. So the trust was there. So their business was going well because of the trust that they were doing an ethical business, but then it came out that they weren't. Here's a little anecdote. A devotee friend of mine told me that in Sweden, some years ago, he met an elderly lawyer, and he got talking in the course of doing business. This devotee friend of mine who's doing business. Many of the members of our ISKCON society, they do business. Not the sannyasis, but others, they do business. So he met a lawyer and they got talking, and he was an old man, and he said that when I was young, business contract, we didn't, many of the contracts, we didn't actually have a contract. You shake hands and that was it. When you shake hands, you make a verbal agreement. But nowadays, one thing is it's so complicated, and another thing is you can't trust anyone, so every detail has to be put in writing. So it's very good for lawyers. So it used to be that people, you could just, if you'd speak with them and then you'd make an agreement, okay, I'll give you this car, you pay me in installments, 5 installments, and still in some places, small towns in America, it still goes on like that. But most places, you can't trust anyone.
Actually, I want to say that when I'm dealing with government people and other people, we have to give bribes and all. That is unethical practice. So from last 1 year, I'm not comfortable in doing all this thing. So maybe because if I'm not doing, maybe my business will suffer or something like that. So that is a fear of my people in my company. And sometimes I'm in a position where I'm not able to understand whether I should do this or not do this. So that is my, where I'm stuck.
Considering that comment of Srila Prabhupada that in business sometimes you have to, it's just the way things go on. It's the way the economy works. So if you're working with the economy, you may have to go on doing it. Otherwise you'll be out of a business altogether. You may have to decide whether you want to do business or not. It's just the unspoken way that things run on, isn't it? If you're feeling too uncomfortable with it, well, you can retire early. You could probably retire right now, as far as I know. But that's the way things roll on. Delegate it to someone. If you delegate it to someone else, then they'll be... But it makes a horrible atmosphere, actually, in which your own workers, you can't trust them, they'll be also trying to cut you out, and it's, no one trusts anyone else. There's no question of any fair dealings. Love is a long way away. It's real rat race kind of stuff. It's unfortunate that human society, we don't have to live like this. It's just greed, that's all. Everyone wants to get as much as they can for as little work as they can.
Swami, does Bhagavad Gita want us to do something bad for which the ultimate outcome is good?
Does Bhagavad Gita tell us to do something bad?
For which the ultimate outcome or the results are good? Maybe.
Does the means justify the end? Is that possible? Well, what we're talking about here is dharma sankat. Practically the whole Ramayana Mahabharata is one after another. Dharma sankat. What should I do in this situation? We want to act according to dharma, that which is proper, but this is Arjuna's whole dilemma. If I don't want to fight. It's wrong to fight. And that on the basis of that, but then Krishna explained this sava ramba hidosha ina sadosham api natyajet, that in everything we do there's some fault, but because there's some fault you shouldn't give it up because of that. Now if Arjuna fought, he would have to fight against his gurus. He would have to fight against your guru. I mean, that's a heavy thing, isn't it? Really heavy. But there's a precedent for that of Bhishma himself, who's on the other side, who's his guru. Bhishma himself had fought against his own guru, Parashuram. So there, the precedent was right there in front of him. So he'd have to fight against his gurus. He was very concerned that all the Kshatriyas, or the protectors of human society, would be killed. The women would be unprotected. they would be exploited by unscrupulous men, and then bad population would be produced, and it would be a social disaster. That was Arjuna's fear. But Krishna told him, on the other hand, if you don't fight, it'll set a very bad example. The very reason that you're fighting is because Duryodhana and company, they're the very symbols of adharma. They have taken the kingdom illegally. So it wasn't, you must have heard Stephen Covey's idea of a win-win situation. There's no win-win. It was a lose-lose. Either. But it became winning if you act on Krishna's order. And Krishna, people often they say, well, Krishna, he told Yudhishthira to tell a lie. But Krishna said, there were so many things. He told Arjuna to kill Karna when Karna was down from his chariot without his weapons. He indicated to Bhima to kill Duryodhana by hitting him below the waist. And after the battle, when Krishna was charged with all this, he said, well, there was no other way, because the means just, in this case, the means justified the end. Of course, Krishna himself, just by his, as he told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that anyway, by my will, all these soldiers are killed, and nimitta matram bhavasavyasacha. You have to become an instrument in it. But Krishna showed by all of this that if the end is justified, then the means is also. Because in the very nature of this world is that if you try to be completely clean, it won't work. There's another story in Mahabharata which Krishna told. It's entertaining and instructional. So. Well, it's a story within a story, like many of the stories in Mahabharata. Anyway, Yudhishthira had become very severely injured. He had been removed from the battlefield and during the fight and brought to his tent. And Arjuna, hearing this, he left the battle to come and see Yudhishthira to see if he was all right. And Yudhishthira was very upset. You should be out on the battlefield. Why have you left the battle? And he was under great stress, no doubt. And he said to him, why have you left the battle? You're just completely useless. You should give up your gandiva, your bow, and throw it up. And Arjuna, he prepared to kill Yudhishthira. And Krishna said, what are you doing? And I'm going to kill Yudhishthira. Are you crazy or what? This whole battle we're fighting for the sake of Yudhishthira, and if you kill him, the battle, it'll all be over. And why were you killing your elder brother? This is completely insane. And Arjuna said, no, I made a vow that if anyone tells me to give up my Gandiva, I'll kill them. So Krishna said, okay, you made a vow. Okay. So you should feel, but it's all, so it would be a dharma not to fulfill your vow. Not to kill him, but to kill your elder brother, that's also a dharma. So then Krishna told a story that there, in former times there had been one brahmana who had made a vow never to tell a lie. He would always speak the truth under all circumstances. And that was why Krishna also told Yudhishthira to say Ashwatthama is killed, because if Krishna had said it, they wouldn't have trusted him. There was a brahmana who he made a vow. So he lived at the edge of a village just next to the forest. In those days, most of the villages were surrounded by forest. Most of India was forest. Gurgaon was a village surrounded by forest. Now it's concrete jungle. So one day a man came running up fearfully and said that I'm a merchant, I have a lot of money with me, a lot of gold, and there are some thieves behind me, they want to take the money. So tell me, where can I hide? And the Brahmin said, you just go in the forest here. A few minutes later, gang of thieves ran up and said, we're a gang of thieves, we're chasing this man with a lot of money, we want to take his money. Do you know where he is? Yes. Where is he? And he said, he's hiding in the forest over there. They went there and killed him and took his money. So the Brahmana never told a lie in his life. After he died, he went to hell. Because in that situation, he should have broken his vow and told a lie. Because his own vow was less important than protecting the person by telling a lie. So the means justifies the end. So Krishna gave an alternative to Arjuna that, okay, you vowed you'd kill, but you don't kill Yudhishthira, but you can fulfill your vow, you insult Yudhishthira. That's because in Sambhavitasya Chakyate Maranadati Richate, as Krishna says in told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that for someone who is honored, to be dishonored is worse than death. So you insult him. So Arjuna started insulting Yudhishthira and speaking to him, tum tum tum, tu 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 tu, all that. So, which is very insulting, which is worse than killing. And then Arjuna said, I'm sorry, I'm falling down at your feet, forgive me. And Yudhishthira said, just get back to the fight. So the point is that the means can justify the end, but you have to be very clear what the end is. You have to be that's why you need a guru, actually, to guide you in all the step by step in a very complex world. Dharma is there, how to actually apply it in our life. We may think we're practicing dharma, but we're practicing adharma. It can become very complex. That thing of is very famous, that after Yudhishthira told a lie, his chariot which went above the ground came down, right? Because he told a lie, right? He did adharma, is that right? No. His chariot, which formerly went above the ground as a sign of his being so much following dharma, came down because he hesitated to follow Krishna's order. That is the reason. And because of him, the elephant had to be killed unnecessarily. That is the reason. That was his adharma, not telling a lie. How do we apply this? What's this got to do with life in New Delhi? Actually, you're confined. If you study Gita and Bhagavatam, and we'll find... I'm somehow or other, I'm talking about this one disciple who was in Dubai and now is in the fields of Tamil Nadu. He also told me that at one time his company was laying off so many people, but they kept him. And one reason why they kept him is because he could think outside the box, and he didn't mind to say anything to anyone. Of course, he wouldn't just insult them, but he didn't mind to walk up to someone and say, hey, this plan it's not going to work. And he said, I was able to do this because I studied Srila Prabhupada's books, the Shastras, which gave me a completely different perspective on life, and I wasn't afraid, because I understood that ultimately I have nothing to lose, and I should act for the best interest of the company, which many times the companies, they're shackled by their own prestige games, isn't it? The company can't progress because the people in the company are all, they're in the company because, not for the sake of the company, but for the sake of trying to promote their own career, and which means pushing others down and trying to, they're more interested in making a show of doing a good job than actually doing a good job. And the people in a higher position, they may be foolish enough to accept the flattery of others rather than someone who tells them for the good of the company, actually, your scheme is, it's not going to work. So he was able to do that, and he went up and up and up and up in the company because he had a different perspective on life altogether by getting this amazing spiritual knowledge, which you'll find in these books of Srila Prabhupada. They're really amazing because they bring the ancient knowledge of the rishis and how we can apply it in practical life, in our day-to-day life. And interestingly, Srila Prabhupada, before he accepted sannyas, he was an independent businessman. He was doing a pharmaceutical business in India starting in the 19... he actually joined, first of all, a company that would be in the 1920s. And then this was the beginning of the pharmaceutical, because prior to this there was no manufacturer of Western pharmaceuticals. He was in Allahabad, and he was providing medicine for the Nehru family, for all it's worth. He was in the very beginning of this kind of business ethos, which came from the Western world, actually. In India, it was in the beginning at that time. So he was very much tuned into that. He was able to go to New York and start a worldwide movement with nothing, materially nothing. One reason, which he said himself, ultimately it's all the mercy of Krishna, and he had a very good product. He had perfect self-satisfaction in among people who are very dissatisfied. But even business-wise, he had excellent business acumen. In the beginning, when he just had a few followers, he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He had a vision of a worldwide movement, which actually came to pass. And he was very tuned into legal matters and how to... brilliant in dealing with all different kinds of people and bringing out the best in them. If you really want to study a role model of someone who is very successful in developing an organization from nothing by giving people self-realization, and also it's not just speaking and giving them, telling them chant Hare Krishna, but organizing a worldwide movement also requires a lot of business acumen, and he himself did that actually. You can read the life story of Srila Prabhupada. How he started with 40 rupees and ended up, a few years later, he had 40 crores. In those days, crore meant something, even a lakh meant something in those days. I think it's going to come soon that to buy a Pepsi Cola, you're going to have to spend a lakh of rupees the way things are going. I mean, no one could. I remember that you probably, some of you remember the days when we used to rickshaw, that was a cycle rickshaw. In Calcutta, it was hand rickshaws. They still, you'd argue with them over 25 paisa. They'd try and screw you for an extra 20, and it meant something. And nowadays, you can't imagine. It was like that, wasn't it? Nowadays, 100 rupees, you can't even get a meal for 100 rupees, is it? How much is dal now? Tua dal?
160.
160, it's come down a bit. I mean, it was unimaginable. 200. Yes. So the best business is grow your own food. Really, the farmers, if it was managed properly, the farmers should be doing well. But when the oil runs out, when the oil supply runs out, the farmer's going to be in the best position. I recommend to young men, if you thinking of the future realistically, get some land, grow your food. Best investment for the future. Because however many rupees you have, if you're in Delhi and there's no food, it's not going to help you at all. Bad times ahead, we can predict. Yeah, any other questions, please? Questions, objections?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Main Hindi mein bol raha hu.
Theek hai.
Stress ke bare mein. 10 hours.
To mera ye manna hai, ya mere ko ye mehsoos ho raha hai. Stress means आज की डेट में आदमी अपनी जितनी औकात है, औकात में उसकी सामर्थ्य, उससे ज्यादा पाने की कोशिश करता है। क्या यही एक रीजन है स्ट्रेस होने का? क्योंकि अगर मैं साइकिल के लायक हूँ और मैं घूमने पास लायक हूँ, स्ट्रेस होगा। दूसरी तरफ दूसरा भी ये चलता है कि दौड़ने लगे हो कॉम्पिटिशन में बड़ा हो तो आज मैं यहाँ कल वहां जाऊं कल वहां जाऊं और एंड एस तो दोनों में से किसको आदमी चुने और कैसे चुने लाइफ वाइज दूसरा एक और है जो मैंने पढ़ा है या सीखा है रामायण कहता है देव रामायण और महाभारत में एक ही लाइन का फर्क है रामायण कहता है देव सब कुछ
युद्ध युद्ध
एंड महाभारत कहता है छीलो
ये चार पॉइंट मैंने आपको दिया है, इसके बारे में आप
स्ट्रेस का एक मुख्य कारण है खुद को बड़ा बनाना का प्रयास. भगवद गीता में श्री कृष्ण कहते हैं कि ऐसा प्रयास आसुरिक है. ईश्वर हो हम भोगी, सिद्ध हो हम बलवान सुखी, कि मैं बड़ा होऊंगा भगवान जैसे होऊंगा. ईश्वर हो अहम, मैं ईश्वर हूँ, अहम भोगी, सब कुछ जो जगत में है वो मेरा खुद का भोग करने के लिए. सिद्ध हो हम, मैं सिद्ध हूँ, कोई मुझ के विरुद्ध कुछ नहीं बोल सकता, मैं बलवान, खुद का बल से मैं सब कुछ करता हूँ. मैं सुखी हूँ, मैं सुखी, तुम दुखी, मैं बड़ा तुम छोटा, ऐसे सोचने से स्ट्रेस आते. लेकिन आज के पूरी जिंदगी सब कुछ स्ट्रेस का कारण है. इतना ज़्यादा आवाज़ होते पटाखा फटाना दिवाली में, उससे स्ट्रेस और सब कुछ. जैसे लोग जिससे लोग आपस व्यवहार करते उससे स्ट्रेस पड़ते है. कुछ भी प्रेम नहीं है किसी के व्यवहार में, ए टू जेड या अ से क्ष, एवरीथिंग, सब कुछ स्ट्रेस का कारण है. सो अमेरिका में एक कहा बात है, चिल आउट, टाइम टू चिल आउट, कूल डाउन, कूल डाउन, कूल डाउन. इसलिए बोलता हूँ कि अच्छा हो कि आप 12 बजे 1 बजे तक ऐसे जगह मत रहो, तो जल्दी सो जाए और सुबह सुबह उठ के कुछ माला ध्यान जाप ऐसे किसी कुछ समय निकालना चाहिए सब करने के लिए. ऐसे नो रश, नो स्ट्रेस, स्पेंड सम टाइम, कुछ समय रखना चाहिए हर एक रोज भगवान के साथ रहना. और जो भी होगा पूरे दिन, एक्चुअली ये हरे कृष्ण साधना का उद्देश्य तो खाली स्ट्रेस रिलीफ नहीं है, वो आनुषंगिक फल है, साइड इफेक्ट होते हैं इसका. भक्ति साधना है कृष्ण प्रेम प्राप्त करने के लिए. तो यदि दिल में कृष्ण प्रेम हो तो ऐसे तनाव नहीं हो सकते, लेकिन हम सहना सकते. जैसे पहले बोला था कि अभी मैं 3.5 दिन वृंदावन में था और एक्चुअली एब्सोल्यूट पैक्ड प्रोग्राम था और लेक्चर्स प्रोग्राम्स और बीच बहुत भक्त मेरे पास आया, मुझसे बात करने चाहते थे. एक्चुअली कंप्लीटली स्ट्रेस प्रोग्राम, बट मुझे मालूम है कि ये मेरा ड्यूटी है. सो ऑलराइट, वो भगवान चाहते हैं कि मैं ऐसे करूँगा, ये भगवान की सेवा मैं करता हूँ. सो एवरीथिंग इज ऑलराइट. नो बहुत से स्ट्रेस होते हैं, एक्चुअली इसका कारण नहीं है, बिना कारण से हम गुस्सा जाते हैं. इट्स नॉट कैसे क्रोध आते हैं, वो भगवद गीता में कृष्ण भगवान कहते हैं कि क्रोध क्या है, काम का परिणाम, भौतिक काम है. यदि एक कामना पूरी होती है तो हम फिर भी असंतुष्ट रहते हैं, फिर हम गुस्सा जाते हैं. कुछ क्रोध ये शब्द इसमें केवल ऐसे ही बहुत ऐसे ही नाराज होने खाली वो नहीं है, वो फ्रस्ट्रेशन जो इंटरनल है वो भी क्रोध का एक आशा है. तो ये वो सब काम से आते हैं, और यदि एक कामना पूरी नहीं हो तो क्रोध आता है, और यदि पूरी भी हो तो फिर भी हम गुस्सा जाते हैं. तो काम हम भगवद गीता में श्री कृष्ण कहते हैं, और आप स्वयं विचार कर सकते हैं कि काम है हमारे सबसे बड़ा शत्रु. इसलिए हमें काम करना चाहिए, निष्काम काम, कर्म निष्काम, ड्यूटी आउट ऑफ ड्यूटी वी हैव टू डू, धर्म धर्म से. लेकिन आज की जिंदगी इट्स ऑल स्ट्रेस, ऑल स्ट्रेस. स्ट्रेस मीन्स डिस्ट्रेस. It's wrong civilization. जीवन और मानव सभ्यता का क्या उद्देश्य है वो तो खो गया, तो हम नहीं जानते. खाली और ज्यादा पैसा कमाना और बड़ा बड़ा बिल्डिंग बनाना, लेकिन फल क्या है? कोई सुखी नहीं है, कोई शांत नहीं है, और लोगों के बीच आपस ऐसे प्रेम प्यार तो नहीं है, दुश्मनी है, कोई दूसरे को भरोसा नहीं करते, तो क्या फायदा होता है इतना बड़ा बड़ा बिल्डिंग बनाना, कॉम्प्लेक्स सिस्टम्स, बिजनेस दिस दैट, क्या फायदा है? एक्चुअली देश और एक्चुअली पूरे दुनिया के सब लोग, बड़े बड़े लोग, इंटेलेक्चुअल्स का शांति में बैठ के तो थोड़ा विचार करना चाहिए, तो पूरा दुनिया की सभ्यता तो कौन सी दिशा में चलती है? इट्स ऑल व्हाट्स द यूज? प्रोग्रेस, प्रगति से क्या प्रगति है? तो कोई अपने घर में बैठ के तो सुरक्षित नहीं होता, तो क्या प्रगति है? द होल एम ऑफ लाइफ इज रॉन्ग. यही गलत फहमी है कि यदि हम पैसा ज्यादा कमाएंगे तो वो हमारा सक्सेस है, लेकिन एक्चुअली क्या है? उससे सुख भी नहीं है, शांति भी नहीं. तो पैसा कुछ जरूरत है, रोटी कपड़ा मकान, लेकिन अगर वो सब हो तो ज्यादा पैसा कमाना, बिजनेस सिस्टम्स, इम्पोर्ट ऑयल फ्रॉम कुवैत एंड देन मेक टैंक्स टू बॉम्ब एंड बॉम्बिंग पाकिस्तान. पाकिस्तान हैज क्या 300 न्यूक्लियर मिसाइल. पागलपन, इट्स क्रेजी, इट्स कंप्लीटली मैड. Simple living, high thinking. Sambhav hai. Pura manav samaj ki disha badalana kathin hoga. Lekin kam se kam hamara khud ka jeevan hum sudhar kar sakte. Aap sab sochiye. Aap sab successful hai aur usse kya? Atma tripti hai kya? पूरा सेटिस्फैक्शन है क्या? एक्चुअली मैं जब जवान था, स्कूल जाने का समय, तो इसके बारे में सोचा, क्योंकि इंग्लैंड में उस समय देखा कि सबके पास हाउस है, मकान है, कार है, और इंद्रिय सुख के लिए बहुत व्यवस्था है, लेकिन कोई सुखी नहीं है. तो ऐसे ही सोच रहे, तो क्यों मैं ऐसे मार्ग में चलूंगा? मैं उस प्रकार जीवन व्यतीत करूंगा क्यों? अगर कोई सुखी नहीं है तो मैं क्यों ऐसा होऊंगा? तो ऐसे सोचा क्या विकल्प जीवन शैली क्या है? कृष्ण की कृपा, कृष्ण की कृपा से इस लाइन में आया था. सो एनीथिंग एल्स? और कुछ हिंदी में? हाँ,
थोड़ा सब्जेक्ट से हटके थोड़ा सा हो जाए. क्या आपकी कभी कृष्णा से बात होती है, या आप ये समझते हैं कि मैं अभी उससे जुड़ा हुआ हूँ, तो
आप लोग मैं तो उसमें आप लोगों में नहीं आ सकता। कोई ऐसा एक तरीका निकालें जो आजकल जो लड़ाई झगड़े जितने दुनिया भर के हो रहे हैं, जैसे अमेरिका लोग दो ग्रुप है, दोनों की अपनी दुकानदारी, हिंदुस्तान पाकिस्तान लड़ रहे हैं, अपने आप को संभाल नहीं पा रहे लेकिन लड़ाई कर रहे हैं। तो आप कृष्णा से कहीं नहीं कहीं आपका कॉन्टेक्ट होता होगा।
कॉन्टैक्ट है आपका, कॉन्टैक्ट आप हरे कृष्ण बोले पहले तो आपका कॉन्टैक्ट वैसे भी है,
हो सकता है मेरा कॉन्टैक्ट
हो सकते हो होते हैं। पूरा समाज बदलाना तो बहुत बड़ी बात है। तो एक कहा बात है, मैं इंग्लिश में कहूंगा कि नो आई कैन से इन हिंदी आल्सो, जब जो जब जवान था बहुत सोचो तो कैसे पूरी दुनिया की स्थिति बदला, फिर थोड़ा बड़ा होने से ही सोचा कि वो मेरे लिए संभव नहीं होगा, तो सोचो तो कैसे खुद का देश की स्थिति बदलाना, और थोड़ा बड़ा होने के बाद सोचो तो वो बहुत कठिन होगा, तो कैसे खुद के कुटुम्बों परिवार कैसे उस सब की स्थिति बदलाना अच्छा होना। अभी तो जीवन का अंतिम समय में मैं सोचते कि कैसे मैं खुद की स्थिति बदल सकता हूँ, और लगता है कि यदि जवानी में ऐसे सोचा तो शायद पूरा दुनिया की स्थिति बदल सकता। बिगिन विद ourselves, बिगिन विद ourselves, सो बिगिन विद ourselves। तो मैं एक तुच्छ जीव हूँ, लेकिन श्रील प्रभुपाद की कृपा से मैं प्रयास किया था और प्रयास करता हूँ जीवन बदलना। तो मेरा जीवन का उद्देश्य नहीं है बहुत बड़ा आदमी होना और बहुत पैसा कमाना, वो सब नहीं। मेरा जीवन का उद्देश्य है कृष्ण से बात करना, कृष्ण की सेवा करना, कृष्ण से की सेवा करना। और ऐसे है कि कुछ लोग है जो मेरी बात सुनना चाहते हैं और मेरे से सलाह लेते हैं और मेरे पास आते हैं, क्योंकि वे लगते हैं कि मेरे से सलाह लेने से उनके जीवन में फायदा हो, कल्याण होगा। सो आई एम एबल टू मेक सम इफेक्ट इन सम लेवल। चैतन्य महाप्रभु की शिक्षा है आपने आचार्य जीव रहे शिकाय, तो वो आचार्य आचार्य शब्द वो ही है, आचिनोति अशास्त्राणि आचार्य स्थाप्यत्यपि स्वयं आचरते यस्मात् आचार्यस्तेन कीर्तितः। आचार्य शब्द का अर्थ है जो शास्त्र के अनुसार आचरण करते हैं, दूसरों को शास्त्र से वो ही शिक्षा देते हैं और उनका जीवन चरित्र से स्वयं आचरण से खाली बोलने से नहीं दूसरों को सिखाते हैं। सो बिगिन विद ourselves, then वी कैन हैव सम इफेक्ट। सो बहुत बड़ा काम होता है। फर्स्ट थिंग ये सब बड़े बड़े पॉलिटिशियंस हमारी मेरे वर्तमान स्थिति में कोई बड़ा बड़ा पॉलिटिशियन मेरी बात नहीं सुनेंगे, दैट्स वन थिंग। लेकिन हमारा ऐसे बोला था कि वो एक विकल्प है कि सिटी लाइफ छोड़ के तो आप देहात गांव में जाएं, और हमारे कुछ प्रकल्प है, कुछ प्रोजेक्ट है। गुजरात तमिल नाडु तेलंगाना जो जिसमें वो भक्त गृहस्थ भक्तों रहते हैं और ऐसे किसान कृषि का कार्य करते हैं और भगवद गीता में श्री कृष्ण कहते हैं कृषि गौरक्ष वैश्य का काम तो ऐसे बहुत सरलता में वे रहते हैं और बहुत बहुत प्रसन्न है ऐसे सो यदि हम और ऐसे करेंगे तो आशा है धीरे धीरे लोग देखेंगे तो कितना सुखी है लोग जो क्या है एक प्रोजेक्ट था कि मेरे एक डिसाइपल गृहस्थ दो बच्चे हैं हम दो हमारे दो आइडियल इंडियन सो और ऐसे कुछ सक्सेसफुल जॉब था एक्चुअली व्हाट वाज ही डूइंग नाउ था करेंगे समथिंग सम बिजनेस एडवाइजर समथिंग लाइक दैट ही वाज अर्निंग काफी पैसा कमाता था लेकिन सोचा कि मेरे बच्चे के लिए मुझे जीवन का पूरा विकल्प करना चाहिए क्योंकि आजकल शहरों में स्थिति ऐसे है कि जीवन का आरंभ से तो वो काम क्रोध लोभ चीटिंग एंड ऑल बैड हैबिट्स बच्चे सिखाते तो इसलिए तो कुछ दूसरे गृहस्थ भक्तों लेके वे सिटी से दूर चला गया और छोटा सा फार्म बनाया और फार्म आज फार्म का मतलब बिजनेस एग्री बिजनेस लेकिन उनका फार्म था ऐसे तो खुद जिसका खुद का प्रयोजन गेहूं सब्जी वो सब और कुछ गाय रखते हैं और ऐसे एकदम सरल था मैं नो करंट नो इलेक्ट्रिसिटी इफ देयर इज इलेक्ट्रिसिटी देन देयर इज टीवी एंड टीवी चरित्र नष्ट होता है एकदम सरल था मैं रहते तो कई साल के पहले ऐसे प्रोजेक्ट शुरू किए हैं तो मैं गाया था वो उद्घाटन का समय और कहीं महीने के बाद विदेश गाया था और वापस आया और वो भक्त को देखा और उसको बताया कि तो आपका चेहरा काला हो गया और उज्जवल हो गया डार्क एंड ब्राइट तो धूप से काला हो गया और आनंद से ब्राइट हो गया और मुझको बताया कि मैं थैंक यू सो मच बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद हमको सुझाव दिया यहाँ आना कि हम बहुत बहुत सुखी हैं तो हम जब सूर्यास्त के कुछ समय के बाद हम सो जाते हैं और सुबह सुबह हम उठते हैं और कुछ टेंशन नहीं है सुबह का समय हम पूरा आरती कीर्तन जप श्रीमद् भागवत पाठ करते हैं फिर हम दिन में कुछ काम करते हैं और शाम को भी सूर्यास्त के बाद हम कुछ आरती कीर्तन करते हैं फिर हम एकदम शनि कुछ तनाव नहीं है खूब हम सो जाते हैं और हम बहुत 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 हैप्पी है यहाँ पर सो दैट्स वी आर मेकिंग प्रोजेक्ट्स लाइक दिस और ये सब प्रोजेक्ट्स है हम दिखाना चाहते हैं कि आधुनिक शहरी जीवन शैली का जरूरत नहीं आप शांति में भूमि माता गौ माता और पिता भगवान कृष्ण की दया से आप ऐसे शांति में रह सकते हैं सो दैट्स वन पॉसिबिलिटी This was Gandhi's idea, actually. Simple living and high thinking. But we also need the Indian army, just in case. So the cities will go on. So there you go. Hare Krishna. Maybe some of you would like to visit that project sometime. Get a different idea. It's in Gujarat. Hare Krishna.